All right, tonight, our speaker and the personal brother, Ronnie Hayes, he will speak what the Bible says about baptism. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 16. Open your ears. Get your pen and papers out. Let's see what we can learn from Brother Hayes tonight. Brother Hayes, it's your time.
Thank you, Brother Tommy. It is always a privilege for me to have the opportunity to speak on this program. And tonight, my subject is so important. I hope you will take the advice of Brother Books and get you a book out and take notes in regards to what the Bible has to say about baptism. You know, a lot of times questions are asked of members of the Church of Christ. Why do you people emphasize baptism so much? Well, let's start in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, where the Son of God said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." As a gospel preacher, I am commanded to preach about baptism. You know, a question I'd like to ask my denominational friends is simply this: why would you not preach about the importance and the necessity of baptism? Yes, I meant to say necessity. Must one be baptized to be saved? Well, let's ask the Bible. Tonight, I'm going to do it very simply. I want to look at the who and the where and the why and the what and the how about baptism. Let's start off, first of all, what is baptism? When you look at your Bibles and you see the word baptize or baptism, it is a transliterated word, which simply means you took the Greek alphabet and you put an English letter in place of that Greek letter. So the Greek word is baptizo, and it sounds like baptize or baptism. But you know, that doesn't really tell us what it is. That's just a transliteration. Translate the word for me. Well, from the Greek, it simply means to immerse. It means to plunge. It means to bury. You see a perfect example of this in Acts the 8th chapter and in verse 38, where in verse 35, after Philip had joined himself to the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch, and he had asked the question, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And the eunuch said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Verse 35 tells us he began at the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch says, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Well, that's a wonderful question. But where did the eunuch learn about baptism? Where did he learn that it took water? Where did he learn that it was a burial in this water? My friends, it has to come from the teaching of God's inspired word. Paul said to the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, that we are buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. When you look at baptism, you see that which is symbolic of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." My friends, when you are buried in that watery grave and your sins are removed, You're raised with a new life. You're now in Christ. You're now a Christian. You're now in His church, and we are to walk accordingly. The question usually is asked then, well, who should be baptized? That's a wonderful question. Wonderful question. Let's look to the Bible and see if we can ascertain God's answer. First of all, I implore you, turn to Acts 22 and verse 16, where Paul, speaking of his own conversion, said that Ananias came in and said, "Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." My friends, sinners, those who have never put on Christ, those who have never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, sinners are the ones who need to come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ in that watery grave, Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. But not just any sinner will do. The Bible tells us that this sinner must be a believer. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The Son of God, here in Mark 16 and verse 16, said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Faith, listen to me, faith is no more important than baptism. It takes both to meet the requirements of the Son of God. In John 8 and verse 24, "For if you believe not I am He, you shall die in your sins." In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So a sinner who has studied the Word of God, he's heard the gospel, he has heard about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, how that He lived on this old earth, and the last 3 years of His life He spent in His personal ministry. He chose His 12 apostles. These apostles were sent out. How that Jesus Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, asked for this burden to be lifted, but He said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Jesus Christ went willingly to the cross. He shed His blood so that you and I can be made free from sin. Romans 5, 8 and 9 tells us that it's in baptism where we come in contact with that blood. But a sinner needs to believe. Is that all he needs to do? Absolutely not. A sinner must also be willing to repent of his sins. In Acts chapter 2, where we have the first recorded gospel message, at the end, you see Peter saying unto them in verse 36, that "you have crucified Him, both Lord and Christ." When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." He said, repent. That word repent means you're turning away from the old man of sin and sorrow. You're putting your sins behind you. They're no longer in control of your life. Look at Romans chapter 6. Sin is not in control. You're repenting. In Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I want you to look at verses 9 and 10. Where Paul, speaking to the church at Rome, said, "For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Notice, repentance is necessary. Notice also, and I jumped ahead and got to the term confession. The confession that was made by the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts 8 and verse 37. After he said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God." I ask you this evening, if you've never put on Christ through the watery grave of baptism, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Put them behind you. Discard them. Get rid of them. And are you willing to confess that godly good name, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior, and be buried with Him in baptism? That's who needs to be baptized. Well, how is one to be baptized? Remember, my first point had to do with, let's define baptism. And baptism is an immersion. It's a plunging. It's a burial. I have been to a lot of graveside services in my lifetime. I've seen the casket as it has set on top of the ground before they lowered it into the grave. I've helped shovel the dirt in on top of the casket after it's over. Not one single solitary time, not one, did they ever just lay the casket out on the ground and say, "Sprinkle a little dirt on it, and that's good enough. That's a burial." No, my friends, that's not a burial. So how is one to be baptized? It is an immersion in water. Look at Matthew chapter 3 and start in verse 6. Matthew 3 and verse 6. Here is John, known as the baptizer, as he was in and around Judea and around the Jordan River. And verse 6 says, "And were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins." Then look down at verse 11. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." They were not baptized into buttermilk. They were not baptized into grape juice. They were baptized into water. In John 3 and verse 23, John also was baptizing in Anan near to Salem because there was much water there. Underline that term, much. If sprinkling or pouring constituted baptism, you wouldn't need much water. You could take a cup of water and baptize as many people as you wanted to. Isn't it an oddity that when you look at many of these so-called hospitals that are based on some type of religious background, that they dip their finger in so-called holy water and form the sign of the cross on that child, and they say that child has been baptized? Well, is that right? Well, please tell me how, in the first place, that child believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I've held many newborn babies in my life. They don't hardly make a sound unless it's crying. I've never heard one of them come out of the womb and say, "Hey, preacher, I want to confess that Jesus Christ is a Son of God." That's because they don't have that ability as of yet. One who needs to be baptized has to believe, has to repent of their sins. That newborn babe has no sins. He's not born a sinner. He's born innocent. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 tells us that it is sin that separates us from God. When we reach a point in our life that we know the difference between right and wrong, and we choose to do wrong, we choose to sin. Sin is when one violates God's law, or when one refuses to do what God has said to do. That's what sin is defined as in God's inspired word. Look at it. Who needs to be baptized? How should they be baptized? They're baptized in water. And my friends, John 3 tells us that it took much water. Well, let me ask you a question. When should an individual be baptized? I think it's ironic. It's kind of funny that I hear these denominational preachers say that baptism is not necessary for salvation. But then they say, but you can be baptized if you wanted to. Now, wait a second. If baptism isn't necessary, then why am I doing it? My friends, it doesn't make any sense. When should one be baptized? Look at what the Bible says. Look at the eunuch. Go back to Acts the 8th chapter. He hears the word of God. He understands what Philip is teaching him. When they came to water, he didn't say, now can we plan a Sunday when we can have all of these people who have believed previously come and be baptized even though baptism isn't necessary. That's not what it says. That's not what the eunuch did. He said, look at here. See, here is water. What's hindering me from being baptized? Now, I tell you how we'd say it in the South. We'd say, what's stopping us? What's keeping me? I see what I need. I see that I'm lost. I see that if I die in this situation, I'm going to spend an eternity in a devil's hell. I see that my God, who loves me so much, gave his son. He's given me this plan of salvation. Look at what God is. Why would I wait? I want to be baptized just like the eunuch. See, here is water. What's hindering me from being baptized? In Acts chapter 9 and verse 18, it says, forthwith they were baptized. Don't wait. If you understand what I'm saying tonight, don't waste another second. If you die separated from God, if you die not having obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, what will the result be? Lydia, in Acts chapter 16 and verse 45, straightway, she and her household were baptized. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 33, the Philippian jailer was baptized. He and all his, straightway. They didn't put it off, not one second. Let me tell you something. If I knew that I had not obeyed the gospel, I wouldn't wait another second. I'd say, hush, preacher. Hey, let me call somebody. How can I reach somebody? I need somebody to baptize me. I need to be baptized right now. I don't need to waste another second outside of the body of Christ. I don't need to waste one more second before I put on Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27. Here is Paul speaking to the church at Galatia, and he said, for you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, listen, have put on Christ. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? The Savior in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. I can't quote this passage without ever thinking about the Son of God holding his hands out and saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Where is that rest found? It's found in obedience to the Savior. And my friends, that involves baptism. Why? would I not preach about baptism? My last question. We've looked at the what. We've looked at the who. We've looked at the how. We've looked at the when in regards to baptism. Why? Tell me why, preacher. Why should I be baptized? Number one, because it is a command. Started right here in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The Son of God sent out his apostles. Here's his command to them. You go preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't make any difference if they're black or white or yellow or red. It makes no difference. The gospel is for all. You go preach and you teach them the necessity of being baptized. You want to see an example? Look in Acts the 10th chapter. Here is Cornelius. And Cornelius is going to be taught by the same one who preached the first recorded gospel message. And in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, Peter said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him." Now skip down to verses 47 and 48. After Cornelius had heard the gospel, look at what it's going to happen. "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he, listen, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they prayed they him, tarry certain days. If you knew nothing else about baptism, you can open your Bible and find out that the Son of God commanded for it to be preached, and he commanded for us to be obedient when it comes to it. Why should I be baptized? Number one, because it's a command. Then let me just point out two or three more things. Jot these things down because I think it's so beautiful when you see the benefits, the blessings of being baptized. In Acts chapter 10, we see it was to fulfill all righteousness. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it's for the remission of sin. Acts 22 and verse 16, it's to wash away our sins. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, it's for us to be saved. And in Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27, it puts one in Christ. As I close this evening and I get ready to turn this back over to Brother Tommy, I'm going to ask you one simple question. Have you put on Christ in baptism? If not, don't wait another moment. Thank you for listening this evening.